Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. 12 after. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our good friend Kristen Arnold is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Kristen is a team builder extraordinaire. She's an international speaker and consultant. She specializes in facilitating and training teams just like yours how to achieve exceptional results and to make sure that they follow their dream and that they all get to their destination without creating a casualty list. That's one of the most important things that I think Kristen does and that we all need to be focusing on. She's the author of a number of books, including Email Basics, Team Basics, and Team Energizers. Kristen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always. I was talking to the audience earlier, Kristen, about how it's so important that we realize that even if we're just a one-person shop, a micropreneur, as they call them sometimes, you still have teams. You still have a team. You have, if nothing, you know, I've had people ask me how many people are in my organization. And I say, well, you mean the people I count on or the people I can lay my hands on? And they say, what do you mean? I said, well, I've got lots of vendor partners that really make my organization a lot bigger. You know, it would look a lot bigger. And then you know, it kind of puts it in perspective for them the way small business owners work today. We have a lot of different folks who work with us in our team. But one of the things I know you want to talk about today are those how we work around those people that we can actually lay our hands on, right?
Yeah, and actually, Jim, what you were talking about, I think, is a significant trend for small businesses, in that anything that you can outsource and give to other vendor business partners,
right,
you can. But those things that you want to hold close to you and lay your hands on, you generally hire those people to be employees working with you so that they are accessible during the working hours or maybe even after the working hours, and that you know that they're an integral part of your business. And oftentimes, Jim, we put those people in the same room with us. You know, and most small business office designs are in a big office, open bay. Maybe you as the business owner have a private office where you can close the door. But more often than not, I'm finding that most people are in one big office environment.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain things that I'm finding that are helpful for office environments and not so helpful. And it's the little things that drive people absolutely crazy and breaks down teamwork.
I know organizations like you were just describing that are that way because that's just the way it is. They can't afford a space where everybody has their own room. But then there are many people who choose that. They actually desire that. I know one guy that literally moved from one building where everybody had their own office to a new building where nobody had a defined space, but it was still open.
Yeah, and most people are going into what I call Dilbert pods. You know, they're
yeah,
cubicle designs, and it's meant to encourage and foster communication and openness and, you know, not a hierarchical type of structure. And, you know, if you think about it as a small business owner, it makes better sense because when you put people in closed offices, they can go in that closed office, shut the door, and you never see them all day.
Uh-huh.
And to reconfigure an office or to even, you know, put those walls up costs a lot of money. So in some respects, it gives the business owner a lot more flexibility when you have an open space environment.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like the way that you're configured, or if you add a couple more employees or take away employees, you can configure the office space a lot easier when you don't have physical walls that you have to move.
But that
you might have to move some furniture.
But that does create some environmental challenges, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because you've got folks talking on the phone, you got different things going on, and sounds and smells and everything else going on. How do we manage that?
You betcha. You know, I always suggest that you have team meetings periodically to provide some opportunities to agree on what I call ground rules or established rules of behavior, and a way to check on that and say, well, how are we doing? So, for example, if you're putting people in defined workspaces, because most people have a desk or they have an area that they can consider their own, and that area is usually defined for individual work. But as you're doing this office design, you should also have places where people can meet, because individual work tends to be quiet, solitude. Mm-hmm. Where you go for meeting rooms, that's where you talk with people, you converse, you meet, you greet, you discuss what issues are going on in the company. So not to confuse the two. And what really drives people crazy is when you're working in your little Dilbert pod, as I call it, and then the person next to you decides that they're going to have a conversation with two or three people. Mm-hmm. And if it's
somebody
for a prolonged period of time,
somebody drops by their pod.
Yeah, I mean, a drop-by is fine. That's 2-3 minutes, and you go on. But what happens if it goes on for 5, 10, 15, 30 minutes? It's driving your neighbor crazy. Mm-hmm. So I suggest that you say, hey, listen, why don't we move into one of those meeting spaces? Because you're, in effect, having a meeting when you have two or more people talking.
What if someone won't get that? What if they don't decide to do that and they just stay there? Can the other people hold up a red flag or something? Can we do something like that? Up a flare or something?
I think it's helpful if, as a team, you talk about that's the norm, that's what you expect. Because when the expectations are known by everybody on the team, that, you know, when you have a group of people in your area and it's going to be longer than a couple of minutes, that you all say, well, why don't we move to a meeting room? And if that doesn't happen, then it doesn't look like you're finger-pointing or picking mm-hmm. on somebody. When you, as the neighbor, are interrupted, you go, hey, Sally, how about if you move that meeting over to the meeting room, okay? Versus if you don't have that understanding established up front, then you look like you're picking on them.
Well, see, I like the red flag idea because, see, if you've already established it and somebody forgets, just hold the red flag up. You don't have to tell them anything else.
Sure, sure. But, again, that's the way that you've agreed that you're going to communicate.
Or a long stick, and you just reach over and tap them on the head, you know.
Well, you know, that might not go over so well, Jim.
Okay. I was just trying to have a little fun in the office here, Kristen. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back. I was just teasing. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Kristen Arnold will join us again right after these messages.
People call, say, beware, doll, you're bound to fall. You thought they were all kidding you.
We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Kristen Arnold, the author of the new book, Team Energizes, 50 Practical Team Activities. Kristen, tell us where all your books are available, please.
You can find them at www.theextraordinaryteam.com or any of the major booksellers.
Theextraordinaryteam.com or wherever books are sold. And the last name is just like you think it would be spelled, Arnold, and Kristen is with a K. Kristen, we're talking about working in our, as you call them, Dilbert pods, and in an open bay kind of an environment, and how do we manage that? How do we make sure that we have the right etiquette in our organization? As you say, the best thing is to have had the conversation already before anything happens. And maybe when you've had that conversation and everybody agrees to be considerate, if something does get out of hand, maybe that should mean that all someone has to do is just stand up and give a look.
Yeah, a look, you know? Or as you said, a red flag, or
I still think that's a great idea.
Or, you know, some people throw a foam ball at them or something. I mean, it depends on what you're.
Now that's a good idea. Throw it, have a little foam ball, and you just whiz it over there or something.
Well, you know, there's a great little device out there, and it's on my website as well as at www.protoblocks.com. And
these protoblocks.
Protoblocks.com, and they are so cool. It's three foam shapes, and on the bottom there's a red block, and And if you put that red block out, then that means stop, do not come in, do not bother me upon pain of death.
I see.
Okay? If you put a green ball, or excuse me, a yellow ball on top of the red ball, it's kind of like the traffic light system.
Right.
The yellow ball means I'm working on something, but if you need to come in and interrupt me,
you better be good.
Better be good. And then there's a green triangle pyramid that goes on top of the yellow ball, and they all kind of intersect. And the green means, and come on in. I'm not working on anything that's too...
That I can't be interrupted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you put these shapes up that signify your readiness for being interrupted. Now, if you've got somebody who's in the Dilbert pod next to you or across the way, and they're doing something that counteracts one of your ground rules, your principles, mm-hmm. you can take one of those and, you know, chuck it over into their area, and that might give them a heads up. I've seen that.
And it's protoblocker.com?
Protoblocks, protoblocks.com.
Oh, okay. Now, what about people like me who have a big voice? Because I have a voice, as I said before, I was born with a big mouth, and the Army taught me how to project it. And so my voice tends to, I try really hard to pay attention to it, but if I don't, it's one of those voices that sort of rolls down the hall. And so I'm not sure I would be good in a Dilbert pod environment, but some people are, and they can, you know, some people have their voices, the frequency that just goes right through everything else.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people can tune it out, quite frankly, if they know that's your decibel voice.
I've had a number of women have done that for me over the years, so it can be done.
What drives people crazy, Jim, is when the voice gets elevated, or you use the speakerphone, or you scream at somebody across the way to get their attention. It's
right.
The abnormal stuff that drives people crazy. I truly believe that most people who have a loud voice, if they're trying to do some monitoring of it, and people know that they're conscientious about it, that they'll give you a whole lot of space. It's when you abuse that,
right.
go above and beyond to be, not that you would be obnoxious, Jim,
mm-mm.
but where other people are doing things that could be interpreted as going above and beyond the line of appropriateness. I mean, you just have to be aware that other people are listening to you. And, oh, by the way, don't think that people aren't listening to your personal phone conversations
right.
and things. I find it amazing that, you know, if you think you're on one side of the wall and then there's another person on the other side, that other person isn't hearing all of the conversations that you're having to the doctor, the dentist, your girlfriend, your, you know, significant other. That's coming across. What I suggest that you do is that if you've got personal business that you don't want anybody to hear about, pick up your cell phone, and, you know, most of the population has cell phones these days, and go for a walk.
Right. That's a good idea.
Go outside and conduct that business.
What about smells, perfumes, and hairspray, and aftershave, and scented candles, and stuff like that? What's the rule on that?
And popcorn. Think about popcorn.
Popcorn and lasagna and pizza is good, but scented candles... And perfume and hairspray, that's not good to me.
Well, now, what one person thinks is good, Jim, another person may not. So I might layer on the perfume and think that that's the most glorious scent in the world.
You would never do that.
I would never do that, but some people would. Mm-hmm. Just like popcorn. Some people don't like the smell of popcorn, even though, you know, if I smell popcorn, I'm ready to go pop my own bag. but you have to be aware that smells... Mm-hmm. in an open office environment are also detractors.
Right.
Now, there might be an aromatherapy specialist in the group who says, you know, let's try some of this lemon zest whatever it is to energize the group.
Yeah.
And if the group agrees, then, you know, let's give it a try.
Okay.
But don't
In low doses, though, folks, in low doses.
But my point is, Jim, don't just bring it in and decide that you're going to inflict those smells onto the rest of the group.
Absolutely. Christian, you know, thank
tell
you.
Tell them, I'm bringing in a diffuser.
Thanks. Christian, I got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Good job today.
Great.
Christian Arnold, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. She's the author of Team Energizers, theextraordinaryteam.com. Right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.